Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
So blessed to be welcomed in studio by Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com writer for MLB, joins us each and every Tuesday here. I guess it's a wrap-up version of your appearance here. I guess we come to an end and we sort of take a break. This is it for Adam McKelvey.
I like being in here because I always hear Jessica do those traffic reports, and yeah. I got to wheel around and see how she did it, which is pretty cool.
It is kind of neat. And we had something to talk about. I mean, sometimes there's not much, but this time you got the guy on the side of the road.
Though. There's always a guy walking around outside his car, walking up the ramp like an idiot.
There's some debris. We're trying to discover what it is in the middle of the road. I try to make it interesting.
Oh, unfortunately, we're not talking about the traffic leaving the ballpark here for the next week or so once the World Series begins. I have to admit, you know, as soon as the Brewers lost, I think it was Friday night, I kind of just shut off whatever happened in baseball for the rest of that weekend. Only to be greeted by a Game 7 last night in the ALCS. It was an unbelievable game. How did the players digest the overall series loss? Like, you were with the team. You were in Los Angeles. I know Brewers fans were kind of feeling it. Ah, this was a good chance. Great team. Ran into a buzzsaw. But what was the mood like in the clubhouse?
Yeah, it. You know, I think because so many of the guys were there last year, last year was crushing. It was crushing the way the game happened. And obviously, you know, everybody was saying goodbye to Uke. And the emotions were like no other season-ending loss ever, and it went way beyond baseball. This year was baseball, and it was disappointing. But I think when you go down 3-0, you're in a deep hole at that point. They Pedro Martinez came in the clubhouse. That was pretty cool at Dodger Stadium. And, of course, he's part of the only team, the 2004 Red Sox, who came back and gave some words of advice, took some pictures, signed some baseballs. But you know, when you're down 3-0, you're in a bad spot. So, you know, that game one, that moment in the ninth inning of game one. And again, we talked about this. You cannot blame Bryce Turang for getting out of the way of a ball coming at his knee. Like, but boy, if that ball clips his uniform pants, it's a different story, perhaps. That's the margin in the postseason. And when it ends, man, it is over.
Was there extra disappointment, though? Because I know, at least from the fan perspective, and I feel like from the players, too, people wanted this one, especially for Uke.
Yeah, and it was just a special team. I mean, 97 regular season wins. They swept the season series from the Dodgers. They won the season series against so many of the teams that they were going to face in the postseason, potentially. It was a good team. It was the number three scoring offense in Major League Baseball behind the Yankees and Dodgers. I mean, this was a different kind of club in terms of putting pressure on opponents and being able to score in all these different ways. They played baseball. Like, one of the favorite things I did in the run-up to the postseason was I spent a day talking to scouts about what they liked about the Brewers, what they were worried going into the postseason. A lot of them mentioned power. And you look at all these postseason games. Last night, the Game 7, home runs decide so many of these games. The Brewers were not a home run hitting team, but they played baseball all year long. And they were the kind of team that trusted the rest of the lineup. They were just a really fun watch. And it's sad to see it end. It's sad to see it end the way it did, not get a game against the Dodgers, make it a series. Yeah. You know, the Dodgers are the better team, but Christian Yelich was right. The better team does not always win in baseball's postseason. There's some lottery ticket involved, and they just weren't able to cash it in.
You mentioned Christian Yelich. He had kind of a rough postseason. Do you think we will find out before too long that Christian Yelich had another back surgery? Was he hurting throughout this? I mean, there was not a lot of pop off his bat. It might have been a slump, right? It could have been. Or it might have been his back flaring up, and he was just unwilling to use that as an excuse.
Well, we did ask those questions because it was just how many groundouts to second base. I mean, that's one of my projects here is to kind of go back and dig into a little bit how it went for him in the postseason. It seems to me like it was ground ball after ground ball. I don't think we're going to hear anything that serious. He was moving around. He was doing everything on the field. You know, he does a lot of his work in the cage, so we don't always see him hit BP. But he was out there, and I don't think it's anything to be worried about to that level. But they just all went ice cold. It was the lowest batting average for a team in a postseason series ever. And we don't live on batting average anymore. But you look at OPS, it was the third lowest OPS in any postseason series that lasted at least four games. So it was just credit Dodgers pitching for sure. You know, they have all these great superstar nine-figure contract pitchers. And a lot of them didn't pitch a lot during the regular season, but they all got healthy and right at the right time. So they're going to be really tough. That's a great matchup in the World Series. The Blue Jays offense, I think they hit better than 300 in the postseason so far against the Dodgers starting rotation. That's elite, 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 elite.
Wasn't it even before the Dodgers series that Christian Yelich kind of seemed MIA? I remember I was at game one against the Cubs and then game three, I think. And all of a sudden it just hit me. I was like, what's going on with him? It just seemed like that star power just wasn't there.
Yeah, look, I mean, one of my little theories of baseball is you need your stars to be your stars in the postseason. That didn't happen for the Brewers. And, you know, Yelich has the big contract, and that sort of focus comes with that. He understands that. He's talked about it a lot. But, you know, Bryce Turang was maybe a better hitter during the regular season. He might have been their club MVP, considering what he does on defense. He was very quiet. I mean, you look up and down the lineup, nobody produced. And it really goes back to kind of like the early innings of game two against the Cubs. They put up all those early runs in games one and two, and then they sort of like survived the rest of that series. Now, partly that's just the baseball postseason. The run environment, the run scoring environment is way down because you've got all the best pitchers on the best teams and you're seeing them night after night. And the managers are making these decisions to suppress runs by making quick hooks and bringing in their best arms, and you just never get a chance. As Freddie Peralta said it, the Dodgers especially just never gave the Brewers a chance to breathe.
Maybe we need to give some of these guys a better walk-up song. We need to change their walk-up songs. Give them a little bit more swagger.
Do you like Shohei's, the Michael Bublé?
I thought that was nice.
And Michael Bublé is very talented.
It does, and yeah, it gets the stadium alive. Yeah, I mean, that is a moment.
My wife joked to Shohei's second home run. She said, that's going to land in our front yard in a couple of minutes. I don't know if that's landed yet.
We're sitting there, and you're covering the game, and there's a lot going on, and the adrenaline's high for everybody who's there. But it was so incredible that there is a sense of kind of taking a breath and saying, like, we are watching right now the greatest game ever played by an individual baseball player. I think that that's true.
Yes,
I think he played the greatest game ever. There's just no one like him. So, again, your stars, when your stars are your stars, it makes life a lot easier when it's kind of these do-or-die situations.
Well, encouraging, the Brewers' best position player in the postseason is 21 years old, and their best pitcher is 23 years old, and yeah, we weren't sure if he was going to be on the playoff roster for the NLDS. But he was in Jacob Mizorowski. What does this look like moving forward? It's always that time where you start to peel back and look at contracts and who's making a lot of money, and it seems year after year the Brewers lose somebody familiar to the organization who is on the cusp of making a lot of money, and the Brewers quite can't hang on to that person. What does your crystal ball say about the offseason and who might be moved or who may not be back with this team next year?
Well, I think that, the vast majority of players are under contract and under control for next season. And that's the idea of the way they've built this club. The idea of like trying to do this year after year and not dive into this deep rebuild. So most of the guys are back, but I think the two biggest names is Brandon Woodruff. He's got multiple decisions that the Brewers will have to make on a mutual option for next year. And then there's a thing in baseball called the qualifying offer, which is a possibility to bring him back on a one-year deal. But that's a big question mark. And Freddie Peralta. And Freddie Peralta is under contract for one more year. He signed that super club-friendly contract when he was just getting started in the big leagues. He has one more very affordable year, but he has one more year. And you think about Devin Williams last winter. You think about Corbin Burns the year before. That's often where the Brewers will flip a player to bring in the next wave of talent. So it's, you know, Caleb Durbin. They picked up Caleb Durbin in the Devin Williams deal. So I think Freddie Peralta is aware that that's how business works. That's the sport. And there's a lot of uncertainty about whether he's back. And if that is the end, it was a great Brewers run, a really good pitcher for the Brewers, steady, made all those starts when they had all that chaos in the rotation. He took the ball every time, and he was big for a lot of the young players in the clubhouse. And that's the kind of stuff people don't really get to see, but he was an important guy for that. So we'll see. It's not, you know, Willy Adames, they took to the end of his deal.
Yep.
So it's possible. But I think if you just look at the history of their pitchers, it's probably an opportunity to flip him and get some young talent.
What are your thoughts on Garrett Mitchell? Because that was a surprise visit to the Brewers in LA, right?
Yeah. And it was good to see him because, you know, he is a first round pick, and Brewers fans will, if you've seen him play, I mean, this is a dynamic player who can do a lot of things. And the injuries have just killed him. And it's not like a hamstring or a, you know, muscle, an arm. It's diving into a base. And in this case, he told us cracking a third of his shoulder.
Ugh.
It's things you
one
can't.
One thing after the other with him.
One thing.
And it's all from the product of playing hard.
Yeah. And he said, you know, there was a time in the summer where he just wanted nothing to do with baseball. And I think in that sense, it was good to see him back with the club. He was in the dugout, out there on the field. The love of the game is still there. And look, he's an important part. They've got some really nice young outfielders when you start looking at Churio and Sal Frelick and even a guy like Blake Perkins who plays great defense. And then the next wave coming. So there are some good players that they could have for many years in that outfield, and Garrett Mitchell could be one of them. So, again, that gives you options if you look at dealing in the offseason. Do you sort of deal from an area of strength? Getting him healthy is number one. And that is, he says, on the right track to be fully go for next season.
Nice.
So winter meetings are what? Somewhere in December in Florida or something
Orlando.
Like that? Or Orlando this year?
Yeah, we go. We have karaoke every year with the MLB.com crew.
Oh, very nice.
I'm not a very good karaoke. I'm usually a supporting player. But we have some good ones. And apparently there is live karaoke in Orlando, which I've never done. Like with a band playing.
Oh, wow.
You're kidding.
Oh, look
I
out.
Was like, what is live karaoke?
So if anyone wants to come
live?
Down to Orlando in the second week of December.
You already have the itinerary?
Well, the winter meetings are set like way in advance. So we all know where we're going and Swan and Dolphin and whatever, second week of December. Well, Come on down, Greg.
Start warming up those pipes. Open mic night. Find Adam at a bar near you.
that sounds like a blast.
It's so much fun to have you on, Adam, especially on the road when you're with the team and on the field. It just bringing that life to our program here. It's been a treasure. You've been a treasured guest here. We'd like to check in with you during the off season, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
When the winter meetings happen, we'll see how karaoke night went. We'll see what the rumors are.
Somebody get video.
Yep. I'm available. So we'll still keep the site fresh. We'll write a couple of times a week. My newsletter keeps going.
Yeah.
I was curious about that. I know time goes so fast, but what stories are you chasing in the off season?
Well, a lot of it's going to be some of the decisions right after the World Series. They'll have to make decisions on some options. Rhys Hoskins, Jose Quintana. A lot of these guys have options in their contract that they'll decide. And then you dive into free agency and see, you know, they're going to have what looks like if say Freddie Peralta is not a part of this thing, a very, very young starting staff and some really promising arms that they have to choose from. Do they supplement that with a veteran guy on a short-term deal? You know, there's lots of there's a blank slate for this club because they have so many controllable players. So there'll be plenty of movement, plenty of rumors to follow and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of names from the rotation at the start of the year. Very different at the end of the year.
Very
like,
different.
Could not have been. They traded two starters in the beginning of the year. Or
and
at
I
some
wonder
point.
If they would have liked a couple of those back by the end, where they're scratching and clawing to fill the innings.
That's a very interesting point. Adam McAlvey joined us each and every week here on Wisconsin's Midday News. We'll check in again throughout the offseason. Appreciate
I'm gonna
it,
come
Adam.
In. It's good coffee here. So
thanks,
I'll come
Adam.
It's not bad, right? Yeah. Stop. Get your ramen, get a coffee fix here, and we'll send you out.
Carry on, Cheerio.
12:51 here on WTMJ.